ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ लेट् अस् डु दि सामवेद शान्तिपाठः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः प्लीज रिसाइट दिस मंत्र आफ्टर मी ॐ ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो 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 बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् ब्रह्म निराकरोत् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरते तदात्मनि निरते य उपनिषत्सु य उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः So I said in this Chandogya Upanishad, first 5 chapters deal with only the topic of meditation, Upasanam. And here in the very first chapter, there are 13 sections. And now we started seeing the first section of the first chapter. And explained to you earlier, Upasanam meditation involves three factors. The meditator Upasakaha, the object of meditation Upasya Devata, and Alambanam, the symbol of which represents the object of meditation, Alambanam. I also explained to you the types of meditation, how a meditation is called. Your meditation can be a part of the ritual. Meditation can be practiced as a part of the performance of a ritual to make the result of the ritual more efficacious. Then that meditation is called Karma Anga Bhuta Upasanam. A meditation which can be practiced not as a main thing but as a part of the performance of ritual in order to make the result of the ritual more efficacious. And such a meditation is called Karmanga Bhuta Upasanam. And there is meditation which is practiced independently, not as a part of a performance of ritual, but as the only discipline, that it is called Angi Upasanam. It means it is not an Anga, it is not a part, but it is the main limb. This is Angi Upasanam. And then I also said the same meditation, whether it is a Karmanga Bhuta Upasanam or Angi Upasanam, whether the meditation is practiced independently or practiced as a part of the ritual, any meditation practiced, you know, can produce a result. Definitely it produces a result. And the highest the result, the benefit of we can get as a result of practicing meditation is one of the mental steadiness, mental antakana naischalyam, which means whatever meditation you practice, any meditation you practice, it will not remove the ignorance. Meditation is not for the removal of ignorance. Meditation is not for the attainment of knowledge. Therefore, meditation is not a means of attainment of moksha also. Meditation is only a preparatory discipline for the attainment of, prepare the mind for the knowledge. We have to remember this. And the second thing I said, when we are practicing the meditation, the alambanam, the alambanam itself becomes the, it has the reverence of the object of meditation. It is called Adhyasa Upasanam, or it is called what now? Pratika Upasanam. I said this also. Pratika Upasanam, Adhyasa Upasanam means what? The meditation in which the object, the alambanam, the symbol which stands for the object of meditation becomes highly revered. It becomes object of meditation. The alambanam becomes the object of meditation. As revered as the object of meditation, it is called Pratika Upasanam. Hope you remember all those things. I also mentioned the other upasanam called what? Sampad Upasanam, wherein the alambanam is retained as alambanam. It does not become the object of meditation. Anyway, and this meditation also, if it is practiced with Purushartha Nischaya, knowing its limitation, knowing the advantage of meditation, knowing the benefit of practicing the meditation, and knowing the limitation of the meditation, if a person is given to the practice of meditation with the Purushartha Nischaya, if a person has Purushartha Nischaya and he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then this practice of meditation becomes what? A preparatory discipline. It becomes a yoga. Then we call it what? Actually, it's a Nishkama Upasanam. how can you convert the practice of meditation also into a yoga? Like the whatever karma you do, any physical activity you do, oral activity you are involved in, or mental activity, kayikam, vachikam, manasam, whatever is a type of action you are performing, you are involved in, it can be physical, it can be oral, it can be mental, still it is an action. Mental action, physical action, oral action. Meditation, all this what? A mental activity. Manasam karma. Kayikam, vachikam, manasam. Any type of karma you do, if that karma can be when you perform it or practice it, definitely it will produce a result. There's no action goes without producing a phalam. You all know that very well. Very clearly you know that no action goes without producing a result. Therefore, meditation also definitely will produce the result. What is the result? Meditation, antakarana naischalyam, that is not there actually. The meditation will produce its own result in terms of artha, kama, dharma. Meditation also, like the any physical activity or the oral activity, the mental activity also has the capacity to bless you with some material ends within the realm of artha, kama, dharma. It's very good. But the meditation also can become yoga. The mental activity, like the physical activity also, can be converted into yoga. Karma yoga. Manasa karma yoga. Vachika karma yoga. Kayika karma yoga. Karma yoga. How to convert meditation also into yoga? If a person practices meditation with the purushartha nischayaha, with the commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth, being given a study of the shastram, living a life of dharma, then with proper attitude, if a person practices this meditation also, converted into yoga. It's a preparatory discipline that contributes for what? Antahkarana naischalyam, mental steadiness, along with other material ends. It also contributes for what? Mental steadiness, and also what? No, it becomes a, then it is called what? No, nishkama upasanam. So having the attainment of knowledge as the ultimate goal for moksha, then knowing the limitation of meditation, if you practice meditation as a discipline for preparing your mind, then it is called nishkama upasanam. So without the purushartha nischaya, if you simply practice meditation, knowing what meditation can give you, and for the material ends you are practicing meditation, it is called sakama upasanam. Anyway, sakama upasanam, nishkama upasanam, any upasanam practiced will be effective, it will produce the phalam. But the phalam will be different, the fruit of result will be, the fruit of action, the result of the meditation will be different, that's all. Okay, this much we already seen, and later on I said, in the first chapter, the alambanam is omkaraha, and this omkaraha, Omkaraha Pranavaha, here is known as Udgitaha. So this Udgitaha is a name for Om only in the Samaveda, not anywhere else. Why? Because Om, any mantra, most of the mantras are from Rigveda only, but then they are set to tunes, in the sense that the music is given to the mantras, then it is what now? It is Samaveda. Udgitaha is what now? Omkara, name of Omkara in Samaveda. Therefore, the Upanishad, the very first section, Upanishad takes this Omkaraha as an object of, as a symbol of meditation, Alambanam. But even the text Alambanam, it's object of first meditation, is Omkara is taken as an object of meditation also. And here, how to meditate upon Omkaraha? So, you are the Upasakaha and you are going to meditate upon Omkaraha. So, an Omkara is what now? An Alambanam for the Lord, the whole. But when you are not seeing the meaning of the Omkara here, how to meditate upon the Omkara? So, take whatever the attributes Omkara is endowed with, whatever the special qualities, whatever the glory the Omkara has, and take those glories of Omkara and meditate upon the Omkara, that gunas. That's why Omkaraha is said to be what now? Guna Visishtaha. Guna Visishtaha means the one who is endowed with a special quality. Visishtaha means what now? The one who is endowed with the guna, particular guna. So, Guna Visishta Omkaraha. And Guna Visishta Udgitaha. Guna Visishta Udgitaha means what? Guna Visishta Omkaraha. So here, we are going to have three meditations. Which means, we are going to have the meditation on three gunas, qualifications, three gunas, or three special qualities, or threefold this glories of Omkaraha. The first glory we already seen. We have to say second glory today. Till now, old class. Now we are going to see the new, what I am going to say today, we will see here. So what is the first two upasana we have already seen? I said, Omkara's glory is, that Omkara is the essence of the essence of all that is here. Omkara is the greatest essence. Omkara is the most, Omkara is the greatest essence of everything. Which means there is no greater essence than Omkara. There is nothing more essential than Omkara. Omkara is the most essential, the greatest essence of everything here. That's why I said rasaha means essence. Saraha also means essence. And rasa tamaha means what? Rasa taraha means greater essence. Rasa tamaha means greatest essence. So rasa tamatvam means what? Being endowed, being the greatest essence is called rasatamatvam. Omkara has this special unique glory of being the greatest essence of everything. Omkara has this unique glory of being the greatest essence of everything here. Therefore, what is the first meditation is called in Sanskritam? Rasa tamatva guna visishta udgita upasanam. Rasa tamatva guna visishta udgita upasanam. And the first glory, we read the first mantra, we'll read it quickly and we can go to the next mantra. So, the first mantra we saw, how of all the beings here, Bhutanam Yesham Rasaha Prithivi. Prithivi, the earth is the essence of all the beings here. Earth is the essence of all the beings. How can you say the essence of all the beings is the earth? My God, the nutrients absorbed from the earth alone, what now, is got converted into nutrients which enliven all the beings. All the beings are sustained, enlivened by what? Energized by what? The food. And food is from where? the vegetation. Vegetation is from where? You know, the earth only. Therefore, the nutrients of the earth alone here actually enliven all the beings ultimately. Therefore, we say here what? Earth is the essence of all the beings. Even other opponents, we go to other, ultimately even for the sun also. Not just the earth, okay? We say basically, we say earth is the, that's why Mother Earth. I tell you one important thing here. In always, the earth is always a feminine gender word. In Sanskritam, Prithivi is a feminine gender word. We don't say earth as a father. Know that. We never say earth as a father. Earth is always a ma. Prithivi mata. Prithivi ma. Maha. Ma itself is what? Prithivi. The earth is called, looked upon as a mother, not as a father. Because only from mom, the baby can have food. No, father can be instrumental. You know, father can be, is a nimi. Without father, mother cannot have a baby. But the food is always from the mother, not from the father. Understand? One who feeds her baby is the mother. That is why in all our, if you see, in all our temples, the Devi is because Devi is a mother. Anyway, so here, so Prithivi is what now here is revered as mother, and she is the essence of, Prithivi is the essence of all the beings. So, Bhutanam Rasaha Prithivi. Then we say, Prithivyaha Rasaha Apaha. But even the nutrients of the earth do not directly go to the plants here. They had to be absorbed and, what now? They go to the, absorbed by the plants. Which must be in the form of water only. Therefore we say, Prithivyaha Rasaha Apaha. The essence of the Prithivi is water. Apam Oshadayaha Rasaha. Actually, Apam Rasaha Oshadayaha. The essence of all the water is what? The essence of the water alone is in the form of what now? The plants. Isn't it? Essence of the water is in the form of the plants. Therefore, Oshadayaha, the herbs, the plants, the entire vegetation. Is it the kingdom of vegetation is what now? Actually, the essence of the water. Oshadinam Purushaha Rasaha. The essence of all the entire vegetation is what now? The food. No, in the form of vegetation is now in the human being, the Purushaha, the human being. And Purushasya Vagrasaha, the essence of the human being is what? Actually the skill in terms of communication, the communicative skill, the speech. Because speech is the essence of the human being. Why? Because the knowledge manifest in the form of a thought, obtaining from of a thought expressed through the speech. Knowledge is the essence of everything, isn't it? And the reality is the essence of everything. The consciousness is the essence of, absolute essence of everything. And the consciousness manifest is what? The knowledge here, from of a thought. And the word is an expression of the manifest knowledge, manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, speech is the essence of the human being. And of all the words expressed, you know, to the mouth of a human being, the mantras, the words of the Rigveda mantras become the essence. And this, of all the Rigveda, essence of the Rigveda mantras is what? Samaveda mantras. And the essence of Samaveda mantra is Om. Understand? Therefore, Om is what now? The eighth essence. You don't need to really take it seriously. It's only for understanding. then Omkar Udgitaha Ashtamaha. He says, and this Omkara is the essence of the greatest essence of everything. Now we understood how it is. Therefore, it is the absolute, most exalted Omkaraha Udgitaha is the most exalted because it is the symbol of the Lord, the whole. Then, so it is as revered as the absolute Lord. Therefore, we say what now? Parardhyaha. And eighth, it comes in this order of the order of these things which become the essence of many the one everything. The order of the things of being the essence here. What is the essence of the essence? Omkaraha. So it is comes in the order as an eighth one. What is that? Udgitaha, the Omkara. Omkara here. This is the first glory. Now, this is the old lesson. Now, we go into the next mantra. Fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh. In all these four mantras, the second meditation is discussed. What second meditation? Same Udgita Upasanam. Same meditation upon Om. Not even Om, yes, what now? Meditation upon Om, the Udgitaha, as the one endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishment of all the ends. Means of the fulfillment of all one's wishes and desires. Omkara has the glory. What is the glory? The glory of Omkara is the glory of being the means of blessing, means of fulfillment of all the wishes and desires. Whatever desires we have, whatever wishes we have, we can fulfill all our desires, all our wishes. How? If we meditate upon Omkara. It means Omkara has that. Omkara as is endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishment of all the ends, material ends in terms of artha, kama, dharma. Therefore, the attainment is called what? Aptihi. Aptihi or Omkara is called Apaita. The Omkaraha, this Udgitaha is known as Apaita. Apaita means one who helps you accomplish, one who helps you attain. Apaita, Adavikkinravar. The one who helps you achieve, attain, accomplish is called Apaita. Who is the Apaita here? Omkara is the Apaita. So Aptihi means attainment. Therefore, because Omkara serves as a means of the attainment of the attainment or the fulfillment of all our wishes and desires, Omkara is called what now? Apti Guna Visishtaha. Earlier we saw what? Rasatamatva Guna Visishtaha. Now the second qualification when you say Udgitaha, Omkaraha is what now? Apti Guna Visishtaha. Apti Guna Visishta Omkaraha. See, Guna Visishtaha means what? Endowed with the qualification. What qualification Omkara is endowed with? Endowed with the qualification of being the means of accomplishment, means of fulfillment. Therefore, what we say? Apti Guna Visishta Udgitaha. Apti Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam is second Upasanam. Okay. Now, here, as I told you already, in these four mantras, as I told you, we are not going to see the word by word meaning in these mantras. I'm going to quickly cover these mantras so that word by word in detail we'll read only from the 6th chapter when we come to our actual Vedantic topic. Understand? So here in these 4 mantras, what is said here, the rishis, I told already, have very great imaginative mind. Even though they have the sharpest intellect, you know, they also have what? Highly imaginative mind. The rare, the people of combination of rare things, isn't it? To imaginative mind and also sharpest intellect. It is not possible for somebody to have both. The rishis have both. And highly imaginative mind means, how do we know that? The upasanam is the proof here. We can say, even to appreciate this meditation presented here, even we also should have what now? Imaginative mind. So here what he says, how does Omkara become the means of, you know, fulfillment of or attainment of all your wishes and desires? How does it become the means of accomplishment of all the artha kama dharmas, all the ends, material ends? He says, by being the locus of meeting point, by being the location of marriage, Omkara serves as the place of marriage. Omkara serves as a place of wedding, which means what? Omkara is the locus where the mantras of 2 Upanishads join. The two Vedas join. Mantras belonging to 2 different Vedas join, become combined in Omkara. Which mantras of which Vedas? Rigveda mantras and Samaveda mantras become combined in one sound, Udgitaha. It represents both the Veda mantras. Omkara represents Samaveda as well as Rigveda. It is Omkara plays the role of being the meeting point or the wedding place. It is a locus of marriage, locus of wedding. It means what? Samsargasthanam. Mithuna samsargasthanam. So mithuna means a couple and samsarga means coming together, as sthanam, the place of wedding of the couple. Omkara remaining as a locus of marriage. Okay, it serves as a means of accomplishment of all the ends. So look at how they think. They say, Omkaraha, generally the mantras are all from the Rigveda. All the words are from Rigveda. Similarly, Om also is what now? Om is monosyllabic word, a single syllable. Om is a single syllable consisting of 3 sounds and 4 components including silence. Now we say, this Om is a monosyllabic word belonging to Rigveda. But there no music involved, isn't it? Any word is what? Word comes out of, born of organ of speech. The word, the sound, the word obtaining in the form of a sound is what now? Is born out of organ of speech. Therefore, it's a vak. Om is a vak. Om is a word. Om, belonging to Rig Veda, is a word, a sound emerging from the organ of speech. The word is what now? Vak. Om is a vak. Vak means what? A word. Omkar, Rig Veda Omkaraha, is a vak, a word emerging from the organ of speech. And vak in Sanskrit language is a feminine gender word. Strilinga Shabda. Then, but it doesn't have a music. The music attributed to Omkara, it belongs to Samaveda. The music attributed to Omkara is what now? Samaveda. Is it clear? And the music implies what? For anyone to be able to sing, one must have very good breath control. If you don't have breath control, you cannot sing. Therefore, and the breath control must be there. Therefore, it is an expression. Music is an expression of prana shakti. Okay, the power of prana. The power of prana alone is expressed in the form of music. Music is an expression of the power of the prana. Walk is a, what now? Walk is a, an expression of the power of organ of speech. And the prana and organ of speech. Understand now? Prana shakti, vagindriya shakti. Now, vak is a feminine gender word. Pranaha is a masculine gender word. Pranaha is a masculine gender word. Vak is a feminine gender word. Now, when you say this Udgitaha means what? Omkara, Rigveda Omkara set to tunes is called Udgita in Samaveda. But this Udgitaha is what now? Is both. Udgita is what now? It is a crown of both the Vedas, which means it is the meeting point of the both prana and vak. Omkara serves as a meeting point, a wedding place of vak and prana. Vak shakti, vagindriya shakti and prana shakti. It's like what now? It's like just as in the marriage, a female person and male person, man and woman come together, then through marriage, they have what now? They have the status of being the husband and wife, thereby they become qualified for performing rituals. And thereby what now? They come together through marriage as wife, husband, wife. They can fulfill all their desires and wishes. They can also what now? Accomplish the ends by performing rituals also. Is it clear? In the same way, this Omkaraha also what now? Udgitaha, which is a combination of both Prana Shakti and Vagindriya Shakti, which is a meeting place of both Vak and Prana, this Omkaraha also, it is recited as a mantra in the performance of all the rituals. This Udgitaha, which is Mithuna Samsargasthanam, which serves as a wedding place of Vak and Prana, which serves as a meeting place of mantras of Rig Veda and Samaveda, this Omkaraha, when it is recited in performing the rituals, those rituals become what now? Produce the results, and the results are more efficacious because this Omkara is recited in the performance of rituals. And those rituals are what now? By reciting the Om Udgita in performing rituals, you can accomplish any result within the realm of Artha Kama Dharma. It fulfills all your wishes and desires. Is it clear now? Therefore it's called what now? How does this word glory? My God, when you perform a ritual, if you also recite this Udgita in performing a ritual, then the ritual becomes more efficacious. The ritual definitely produces rich results. And those results are within the realm of Artha Kama Dharmas. Therefore, you can get all your wishes fulfilled. One can have all one's desires fulfilled. How? Not by simply performing a ritual, but by reciting Omkara in performing a ritual. And who makes this, who helps you accomplish your ends in terms of Artha Kama Dharmas? What is it which helps you accomplish? It is the recitation of Omkaraha, Udgita. It is the chanting of Om, recitation of Om in performance of rituals. And which Omkaraha? Udgita. The Udgita, which stands for both Prana Shakti and Vag Shakti, Vagindri Shakti, Vak and Prana. This Omkara, when it is recited in performing the rituals, it helps you accomplish all the ends. Therefore, it is called what? It has the glory of being the means of fulfillment of all your wishes and desires. Therefore, it is called what? Apti Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. See, clear now? This is the second Upasanam. It is over. Later on, the Omkara is said to be what now? Apaita. We'll go to third Upasana, is discussed in the 8th mantra. What third Upasana? Third Upasana is Samriddhi. Samriddhi Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam. Samriddhi Guna Visishta Onk Udgita Upasanam. This Omkaraha, which is the Udgitaha, you know very well now what is Udgitaha. Omkara is known as Udgitaha in Samaveda, and because it's set to tune music, and this Omkara, which is Udgitaha, is endowed with the glory of the bestower of all forms of prosperity. Anaitha vidha valangilayum nalguhindra perumai udaitthadu Omkaraha. So Omkaraha is now here, Udgitaha is endowed with the glory of being the bestower of all the prosperity, all forms of wealth, all forms of prosperity. How does Omkara become the bestower of all forms of prosperity? If you recite Omkaraha in performing rituals, it becomes the what now? Bestower of all forms of prosperity. So Samriddhi. See, Samriddhi itself means all forms of wealth, not just one thing or the other. The prosperity in its entirety is called Samriddhi. Everything you need, it includes good physical health, good mental health, wealth, the food, the good appetite, the capacity to eat well, drink well, digest well, all wealth. Prosperity means not just thinking. You know, suppose the knowledge means people buy books, but they won't be able to read the books. If they read all, they won't be able to understand anything. People cannot even buy the books. So, wealth means, prosperity means the capacity to buy, the capacity to enjoy, the capacity to benefit from that. Isn't it? This is called what now? Which is all prosperity in its entirety. People have a lot of food, but the problem, they can't even eat. No appetite, Or even appetites, they can't eat, they can't digest, systems agree with problems, solve problems. Therefore, here samruddhi means the entirety in its, the prosperity in its entirety, all forms of wealth is called samruddhi. Samruddhi karaha omkaraha. So, samruddhi guna visishta udgita upasanam is the third upasanam. And here, this Udgitaha is used as an expression of giving permission or revealing one's acceptance. Udgitaha, Omkaraha, is used as an expression of granting permission, or expression of expression of acceptance. Suppose if in performing rituals in the Yajnashalas, people will be talking, then all the answers will be, they'll say only Om for everything. Any question to give an answer, they'll say only Om. Somehow in the Sri Lankan Tamil community, they use this Om every all the time. Om, Om. They don't say Om, no? But it's really. Somehow. So, I have a feeling, I definitely understand, even though nowadays they're very staunch about Dhaivisdantam, they don't want, some people are against, but somehow this Om has been there in the conversation. Suppose, would you like to come to our house? Om. Om. Would you like to drink a cup of tea? Om.
Acceptance.
Okay? Om. For everything, Om. And then, suppose, even an expression of granting a permission. Can I take this, please? Om. So, an expression of granting permission, as expression of acceptance. No, people say only Om, even during the performance of rituals also. This we came across even in Taittiriya Upanishad. For everything, where is the ghee? Om. For everything they used to say Om. Yajnashalas. So, this Omkaraha, which is used as an expression of permission. Here he used the word anagnya expression. Then, acceptance also. Then that Omkara, when it is recited during the performance of rituals, then what happens? Which means, if we meditate upon this Omkara as the one endowed with this special quality, the special glory of being the means of, the bestower of the all forms of prosperity, then this is called Samruddhi Guna Visishta Omkara Upasanam. That's what he says here. Definitely this Omkaraha blesses one with all forms of prosperity when it is recited in the performance of rituals. This is the quality of glory of Omkara. Which means, suppose if we meditate upon this Omkara as the one which is endowed with this glory of being the bestower, fulfiller of all the, bestower of all the prosperity, all forms of prosperity, then definitely this meditator is blessed with all forms of prosperity. This is the third the glory. This is also discussed in the 8th mantra. That's why if it is enough, if you know the names of meditations, you're not going to practice this meditation. You don't need to break your heads at all. Now, threefold, glories of Omkaraha we have seen, and how these are the meditations discussed until the 8th mantra. Also, 8th and the 9th mantra also, the same thing is discussed. Then, the 10th mantra, with the 10th mantra, the first section of the chapter will be over. It comes to an end. The first section of the first chapter will be over with the 10th mantra. In the 10th mantra, interesting. Interesting because this emphasizes the value. It teaches us the value. The value of what? See, when we perform rituals, when we recite the mantras, chant the slokas, and then we do not know the meaning of what we are doing. Any Vedic ritual performed, knowingly performed, unknowingly performed, isn't it? With knowing the meaning of what I am doing, see what I am doing, what is the ritual I am performing, what is the mantra I am chanting, who is the devata, which is the deity, the devata whose grace I am invoking, you know, and what is the result I can have as by performing this ritual, what am I really aiming for by performing through the performance of ritual. Like that, and what is the meaning of the mantras I am reciting specially for this particular ritual, etc. Knowing thoroughly what one is doing. With the knowledge, if we do practice meditation or perform a ritual, recite a mantra, then that knowingly done action will be more efficacious, more yielding. If we perform something without knowing the meaning also, it will be effective. Is it? It will be effective. But if we know the meaning, it will be more effective. So he says what now? It's better to do something knowing the meaning of what we are doing. Even if you do not know also, it is effective. But he says anything performed knowingly, done properly, knowingly, that is more effective. This is the first thing. And the second thing, when you perform something, also ritual you are performing, a meditation you are practicing, what is prescribed in the Veda, then what we do, sometimes because somebody else is telling me to do, I do it not wholeheartedly. Why I don't do it wholeheartedly? Sometimes people do, they oblige, so they do it. But not wholeheartedly. Why they don't do it wholeheartedly? Because they do not have faith. Why they do not have faith in doing what they're doing? There's no 100% faith. There's some faith. There's no 100% faith. Why there's no faith? Because they do not understand logically the mechanism involved here. If you perform this ritual, you will get this benefit. If somebody tells us, it is a question mark. How come if I perform this, if I kindle a fire, offer oblations, then I invoke the grace of the sun or moon of a particular devata, deity, I recite certain mantras, how can I get the result? For example, they say you perform this ritual and you will have putra, Perform Putra Kameshti Yaga, my God, performance of ritual, how can it result in producing a child? And how does a wife become pregnant? Isn't it? You can't see the connection. The mechanism is not said sometimes. The ritual is prescribed, the result of ritual is prescribed, mentioned there, but the mechanism is not revealed. It's like typically like suppose if you go to a doctor, and he, you know, sees after seeing your blood test and all the reports, everything, the deficiency, everything he understands. And he prescribes a medicine. There, you can simply take the medicine. You don't need to know how the medicine works effective in curing your problem. But he, otherwise, if you ask, also the doctor can step by step, he can explain to you all the reasoning involved there. How, what is the problem you have, what, therefore how this medicine works in curing your disease, in relieving you of the pain, the doctor can explain. The mechanism is understood here. In within science, mechanism is understood. In Veda, something is prescribed for this end, okay, for this end you do this karma. This is the means to rectify that problem. It says that it is prescribed. You have a doubt whether it works or not, because mechanism is not understood. It is very natural for us not to trust, not to have faith in that. Why? Because we do not understand the mechanism involved. Suppose if we do it faithlessly or with little faith or with being skeptical about things, then still it will be effective. It won't be more effective. So what next he says? When you perform something, do something, what is prescribed, and if we do it with faithfully, okay, 100% faith in what we are doing, then also it will be more effective. So knowingly performed, practiced, or faithfully performed or practiced, then he is going to say one more thing. Upanishada. Okay, then before you do something, sit and meditate. Think what you want to do, how you are going to do, etc. Think before you do it. Or here he says what now? Before you start the karma, performing a ritual, meditate upon the devata. So begin your karma with meditation. Meditate, then you do anything physically. Sit quietly, meditate, then you perform a ritual. Therefore, even in chanting today, I said, before you start the chanting, meditate, then you do the chanting. So, beginning to do anything physical or oral activity, with the meditation, begin your activity with the meditation, meditate, then you do. It becomes what now? It becomes an action combined with meditation. The action combined with meditation is called what here? It's also more effective, more powerful. So here, the 10th mantra, go to the 10th mantra now. People may be practicing meditation or performing a ritual, now with knowingly or unknowingly. See that the second, the 10th mantra, go 10th one. Yadeva onwards. Can you take that? Yadeva onwards. Yadeva. Can you read it now? Yadeva. Vidyaya karoti. Shraddhaya karoti. Upanishada. Tadeva. Viryavattaram bhavati. Okay, that is the sentence. Yadeva, whatever karma ritual one performs, whatever karma one, whatever action one does, how should it be done? Vidyaya karoti. Vidyaya karoti means what? Knowingly performs. Whatever one performs, when he performs it knowingly, with the knowledge of what he is. Vidyaya means what? With the knowledge of what I am doing. If I perform something with the knowledge of what I am doing, why I am doing, how I am doing, etc. Knowing the meaning, if I do, then Shraddhaya karoti. If I perform something, what? With the Shraddha, faithfully. Knowingly performed, then Shraddhaya means what? Faithfully performed. Then Upanishada. Upanishada here means upasanena, meditating. If I perform something with the meditation, if I do something with combining it with meditation, if I do something with the Shraddha, if I do something with the knowledge, so knowingly performed action, faithfully performed ritual, or ritual combined with the meditation, what now? Makes the ritual much more powerful. So, viryavattaram bhavati. So, karma becomes viryavat. Any ritual, any puja you do, anything you do, Because what? Viryavat means what? It is powerful. It is effective. It becomes viryavattaram. It becomes more effective, more powerful. You want it, something what you do, powerful or more powerful? If you want it to be more effective, more efficacious, more powerful, viryavat means powerful, effective. But viryavattaram means what? More powerful. When does it become more powerful? If you remember these 3 points, if the ritual is performed knowingly, with the knowledge of what you are doing, if it is performed faithfully, and if it is performed, if it is combined with meditation, then it becomes more efficacious, more effective. Is it clear now? This is the what value is taught here, isn't it? It is really how important it is to know the meaning of what we are doing, how important it is to have faith in what we are doing. Anything you do, if you do not have faith, we need not do it. Know why? When we are doing it, if you know the meaning, then faith also will be is possible. So doing it faithfully, doing it meaning, knowing the meaning, and doing it what? Also combining it with the meditation. Even our day-to-day activities, before we do something, if we sit and think well, then we do it, we can do it clearly, more efficiently, properly. If we do it without thinking, thoughtlessly we do something, then we have to redo it, or becomes wrong, something incorrect, something we do. Always, why we make mistakes in what we are doing? Because before we do, we are not very clear about what we are doing. So thinking before doing always makes anything you do powerful, effective, more effective, more yielding, more productive, more efficient, less damaging. Understand? Even day-to-day activities. But here what he says, especially when you perform the rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda, it is not nothing to do with upasanam. The last mantra he just wants to teach us the value. If I do anything, if I recite a mantra also, if I recite it knowing the meaning, if I practice, perform a ritual, if I do it knowing what I am doing, if I do it with the faithfully, definitely this is going to produce this result. And Veda says, so I don't question about it. If I faithfully I do it, even Avagraha Pradakshinam also, anything you do, do it faithfully. Then Upanishada, if I combine anything I do with the meditation, also what now? It becomes viryavat taram bhavati. It becomes more efficacious, becomes more powerful. So, the first section is over. The first section of the first chapter of Chandogya Upanishad is over. Now you know very well, the first section discusses three meditations. It means what? Omkara, the threefold glories of Omkara are to be taken as meditation upon Omkara as the one which endowed with threefold glories. Three meditations plus what now? This value also is discussed in the first section. Is it clear? The first thing is over. We have to enter into the second section. So let us read the Upanishad mantras now from the fourth mantra. Let us read once. Katamar katamas katamat sama katamaha katama udgitaha iti mrishtam bhavati. Katama katamar katamaha katamat sama katamaha katama udgitaha iti vimrishtam bhavati. Next mantra. Vagevar pranaha samo mityetad aksharamudgitaha tadva etanmithunam yad vakcha pranascha pranaschakcha samacha tadetan mithunam om iti etasmin akshare samsrijyate yadavai mithunau samagachat apayato vai tavanyonyasya kamam apayitahavai kamanam bhavati ya etad evam vidvan aksharam udgitam upaste tadva yetad anugyaksharam yaddhi kincha anujanati omityeva tadahaisho eva samruddhir yadanugya samardhayita ha vai kamanam bhavati ya etad evam vidvan aksharam udgitam upaste teneyam trayi vidya vartata omiti ashravayati om iti shamsati om iti udgayati etasyaiva aksharasya apachityai mahimna rasena teno bhau kuruto yascha yetad evam veda yascha na veda nanatu vidya cha avidya cha yadeva. So that from there I said quotation, okay? Yadeva vidyaya karoti shraddhaya upanishada tadeva viryavattaram bhavati iti khalo etasyaiva aksharasya upavyakhyanam bhavati. Okay, that's a general value. Now what he says here in this context, this is the meditation on the Omkara endowed with threefold glories. Meditation upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being the essence, greatest essence of everything, the meditation upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being the means of accomplishment of all forms of Arthakama ends. And then Omkara, meditation upon Omkara as the one endowed with the glory of being the bestower of all forms of prosperity. These are the threefold glories. Now he says, understanding the glory of Omkara properly. This is simply glory, understanding how Omkara is really glorious. So understanding the glory of Omkara, knowing the value of this meditation, if a person practices this meditation, knowing the meaning, having faith in the words of the Shastram, then definitely what? Also practice the meditation, definitely he will enjoy the benefit of practicing meditation. I mean, anything he does will be more effective and more powerful. This is the value the Upanishad teaches. With this, the first section is over, and please remember, we will be seeing meaning of every word, every root, everything elaborately, completely, thoroughly, only from the 6th chapter. Because this is not our subject matter. Our subject matter is what? The nature of reality, nature of our own self, and therefore understanding of the oneness of the truth. Oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. And thereby understanding the creation being not there, thereby resolving the universe, what now, understanding the universe being mithya, and therefore having the vision of the absolute reality in which we resolve our problem, we discover our freedom. We are interested only in our moksha. Isn't it? Therefore, from the 6th chapter onwards alone, we will be seeing every word by word meaning. Now, I didn't want you to miss the subject matter of the Upanishad. Here I am giving you what is contained. At least now you know what is the Upasana, what is contained here, what is taught here, you will definitely know. So, what is the actual, why we were interested only in the subject matter discussed in the 6th chapter? Because that is the chapter, only in the 6th chapter, 6, 7 and 8, mainly in the 6th chapter, we understand the truth of the individual in terms of one's own real nature. Everyone has to understand the truth as one's own real nature. For me, the truth of the entire cosmos is my own real nature. For you, the truth of the entire cosmos is your own real nature. For all of us, the reality of the whole is available for recognition as one's own real nature. Definitely, there's no way of arriving at the reality as an object or as the truth of something else. The reality of the whole, the truth of the whole has to be recognized, can be recognized only as the one's own real nature in terms of fullness. And this discovering one's own real nature, but not through discovery of one's own self, is what? We say the attainment of moksha. And then there, in discovering your own real nature, you understand what the real nature of the entire cosmos being the same. You understand the truth of yourself, the truth of the individual, and the truth of the whole cosmos being one and the only truth. There is no second truth. There is no second reality, there is no second thing other than the truth also. There is nothing other than the truth here. And this understanding of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total is very important, in which alone we resolve our individuality. It is very important. One resolving individuality, cognitively I resolve the individuality, which means cognitively I resolve what now? The I sense. Thereby what? I resolve all the wrong notions I entertain about myself. in resolving all the wrong notions I have entertained about myself, are all the problems caused by the wrong notions also what now? They become resolved. That is what is moksha. So we are interested in our happiness, our peace of mind, our joy, our sorting, resolving our problems. We understand anything else. Therefore, our actual object matter of Upanishad is discussed only in the 6th chapter. When we do that chapter, we will definitely do word by word everything we understand. Actually, Pujya Swamiji completely omits all these chapters for the beginner. Initially, he used to teach us. Nowadays, he doesn't teach all these chapters. Just go straight away to the 6th chapter. Doesn't want to waste his time here. But I just thought, even though we are going to study the 6th chapter, I want to know what is there in the entire Upanishad. Even though we are not going to practice these meditations, definitely, how we can understand, after studying Mandukya Upanishad, there we are expected to contemplate upon the meaning of Omkara. And in comparing it with what? Comparing it with the four facets of the Atma. That is for arriving at the truth of the whole. it's a contemplative, it is a means of contemplation for Omkara is for contemplation. Whereas here, we are not seeing the meaning, but we are meditating upon Omkara means, is not going to remove any of the ignorance. But still, we look at Omkara as the one which is endowed with certain special qualities, special glories. And the glory of just Omkara being the very sound symbol of the Lord, Om, you know, when it is recited in performing a ritual, how it makes the ritual more effective. Even Radhaji wonders, why Omkara? Why Om? And I said, Omkara sound symbol of the Lord. Again, I tell you one thing. Om, please remember one thing. This is not relevant here, but still I am telling you for your own sake. Why Om is taken as a sound symbol of the Lord the Whole? Why it symbolizes, why it is taken as sound symbol of the Lord? I told you the meaning of all the Omkara as a Pranavaha. Navaha, Navaha means it is not something relevant here. But still I want to know this. Navaha, the dental nakara. Navaha means name. A name is a word which means only one word. One name can indicate only one object. Book is navaha, which indicates only one object called a book. It cannot indicate a chair or table or any object other than the book. Table, if I say the table indicates only one object called table, it can indicate anything else. So navaha is a one word indicating only one object, meaning only one object. Whereas pranavaha means one word, my God, it stands for all the objects. What is this? Om. What is this? Om. What is this? Om. Om can indicate all the objects, the entire cosmos. How? That's why it's a unique name. Navaha means name, which indicates one given object. Pranavaha is a unique name, which stands for all the objects. How? Because Om, the three sounds of the Om, stand for all the vowels and consonants possibly now pronounced from through your organ of speech, through your throat, through your, isn't it, vocal cords. We say here all the vowel sounds, all the consonants, all of them, there are 54 sounds. The maximum number of sounds that we can produce through our human vocal cords, what now? 54 sounds, vowels and consonants of any language, whether it's Spanish, French, or English, or Tamil, or Gujarati, Marathi, Bengali, any language should have what now? We may understand. All the languages have vowels and consonants. The maximum number of vowels and consonants produces what now? 54 in number. 5 plus 4, 9. And any object is indicated by what? A given word. What is a word? Any word is nothing but vowels and consonants put together. You take any word, you split any word, what do you have in every word? Every object is indicated by a given word. And any word, if you split, the word is nothing but many vowels, any vowels and consonants put together. All vowels may not be there, some vowels, some consonants will be there, isn't it? All the vowels and consonants sound come from where? Only from here. So that is why akara is a guttural sound. A guttural sound. U is a labial. And between a and u, what now? Between guttur and the lips, all the sounds come. Is it? Thai does not produce sound. Our nose does not sound, produce sounds. All the sounds used in any language, all the vowels and consonants emerge from only between this here only. Sthanam. So, A and V, these three sounds, and three sounds represent the 54 possible sounds. 54 means 9. Therefore, this 54, that's why 5 plus 4, 9 we say. 9 is auspicious for us. That's why we, whatever we, 54 sounds means what? The 54 sounds, actually these 3 sounds stand for 54 sounds. 54 sounds stand for all the vowels and consonants, and they stand for all the letters. And the letters, all the vowels and consonants are what now? Constitute the word, and the word stands for the object. Therefore, all the objects are indicated by the words, which are nothing but the vowels and consonants put together, and which are not outside of Om. Om is equal to 54 sounds. 54 sounds is equal to all the words. All the words equal to the entire universe. All the objects. All the objects constitute the world. Therefore, Om is equal to the whole. What is whole? Manifestation of knowledge. What is Om? Ishvara. The whole universe is manifestation of knowledge. Om stands for, Om is a symbol of the Lord, the whole. This is on meaning. And we also know what Omkara is. Now, Akara stands for waking experience. Ukara stands for dream experience. Makara stands for deep sleep experience. Okay. And all the experiences are possible because the blessing of consciousness, which is symbolized by the silence, which follows in comes in Omkara. And we have this meaning of Omkara, that's okay, that's a different thing. But here, therefore, this Omkara, being the symbol of the Lord, the whole, now when it is recited or uttered in during the performance of rituals, in all the chantings, how it makes the karma also more effective, more efficacious. That's what he wants to say. So that separates now. How it has the unique glory of being the bestower of all the prosperity and entirety. It has the unique glory of being the means of accomplishment of all your ends. All your, ends into artha kama dharmas. And it has the glory of being the essence of everything as Ishvara. Isn't it? Therefore, these are the threefold glories Omkara is endowed with. And we are taught here, we are asked to meditate upon the Omkara, this Omkara, as the one endowed with these glories. This is the first section. With this, the first section presents the threefold meditations upon the Omkara, as the one endowed with threefold glories. This is over. Then, finally, he gave you the value. Yad karoti. No, whatever you do, vidyaya karoti, and then shraddhaya karoti, upanishada karoti, tad viryavattaram bhavati. Anything practiced, performed knowingly, faithfully, thoughtfully. Thoughtfully performed action, faithfully performed ritual, knowingly performed, knowingly, faithfully, thoughtfully performed becomes more powerful, more effective, more yielding, more efficient, more beneficial, isn't it? This is what he says. So with this, the first section, Prathama Kandaha, is over. And what is the second Kandaha? It's not 10 minutes late, no? Okay, as I promised you, 10:30 to 12:30, I said I'll do the class. And I just did 10 minutes extra now today because we started late. And I'm going to start the next section, the next class. Okay? The second section also presents the same Udgita Upasanam. But in there, we are not meditating upon Omkara, the one glories of Omkara. We are going to meditate upon Omkara, but here we are going to invoke the Prana Devata on Omkara. The second section also is going to deal with the Omkara Upasana only, but there we are going to invoke the Prana on the Alambanam of Omkara. So it's called Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. So now we saw Guna Visishta Omkara Upasanam. Now we are going to say Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Prana Pratika means what? The Prana here is the Devata invoked upon Omkara. Omkara is the Pratika, a symbol, an alambanam for Prana, Devata. That is the meditation, different meditation is going, we are going to see in this second meditation. But second meditation also very beautiful. I really want to understand correctly. Here, it is more a subjective meditation. Even though we say it is a Prana, Omkara, etc. And to make us understand the why we meditate upon Prana, why Prana is taken as an object of meditation. Why Prana is taken as an object of meditation? Because Prana is glorious. Why can't we meditate upon sense organs? Why can't meditate upon, should we not meditate upon our organs of actions? Of all the sukshma aspects, jnana indriyani, the seeing power, hearing power, etc. All the five, sense organs we have, five organs of actions we have. And we also have antakaranam, the mind. Why can't we take any of all the 16 factors, we only take the prana? Why do we meditate upon prana, not on anything else? Because prana is the most glorious. Why prana is known? Because prana is the purest. Something very interesting. Prana is the purest. Why? Because I'm going to do the mantra also for that. Okay, not the something, the story like. And here this Upanishad is going to present some small story here. Beautiful, interesting, very nice to know all these things, even though not something to know more about the consciousness, all those things here. Really very interesting to know why prana is the purest here. Na shuddha, pranaha shuddha. And all other sense or all the other aspects of sense organs are not absolutely pure. They are a mixture of both, divine and demonic traits. Why? Because the sense organs can be used, the function of sense organs can be used in right actions and wrong actions. You can use your sense organs to perceive things which are auspicious, which are inauspicious also. You can watch some rubbish movie. You can also watch something nice. You can use it for both seeing right things, wrong things. You can use your hearing power also, what now? For listening to something which is inauspicious, also auspicious. You can use your power of smelling also, what now? Durgandha and Sugandha. So you can use all your sense powers for enjoying both desirable, auspicious things and also inauspicious things also, which will distract your mind, take your mind away from Shastram and Dharma and Jnanam. Or you can perceive things which will help you retain your mind in Shastram, Jnanam and Moksha. You can do anything, it is possible. They can be, the functions of the sense organs can be used in actions which are against Dharma, which are in conformity with Dharma. So also powers of organs of actions. They can be used in right actions or wrong actions. The same power of action, the power in your hands, karma indriyam. You can use it to write something nice, you can use it for holding something nice, doing something contributive, constructive, you can use it for killing also. Anything right or wrong, the power of, said the karma indriyam, the power of an action can be used for right actions or wrong actions. In the same way, the mind also, what now? The thoughts entertained in the mind also can be what? Desirable thoughts, undesirable thoughts. Even though you are not the producer of the thoughts can be what now? No, the thoughts can be really the good thoughts or the wrong thoughts, right thoughts. The thoughts themselves are not right or wrong, but still the thoughts can be what now? The auspicious, inauspicious thoughts can rise. Therefore, all of them are, they say, guna dosha mishritaha. All of them are mixture of both, what now? Guna and dosha. Divine and demonic traits are there on the part of everything. Is it clear now? Whereas prana, there is no such thing called prana is always there. There is no life which is a wrong life, inauspicious life. Can you say that? Prana has no such thing, is it? Prana is just a life. Life by itself cannot be said to be wrong life or right life. It gives life. It's a basis for all the actions happen, isn't it? Right, wrong, everything happened because of the blessing of prana. But prana by itself is not involved in anything. When you cannot use your will, you can use your will, in executing your thoughts, implementing your thoughts in the form of actions. You can use your will in using your powers of organs of actions. You can use your will in using your sense organs. You can say what? Don't watch this, watch that. You can use your will in using your organs of actions or your organs of knowledge or you are implementing, you know, the in expressing your thoughts and of actions also. Whereas prana, you have no, you can't use your will. You can't tell prana, come on, stop, you know, circulating for some time. Stop. Your no will is involved, isn't it? So involuntary. The will cannot be used in the function of prana. The other function, the will can be used. Therefore, it is possible for you to go against dharma also. You can, isn't it? But as prana, you cannot, you cannot say over your prana. You cannot stop it. It stops. Therefore, it cannot be, prana shakti, prana cannot be used in right and wrong. Because you have no will. You have no say over the prana. Whereas, in implementing, in exercising your thoughts, in expressing your thoughts in the form of action, you can use your will. In using your karmendriyani, you can use your will. In using your karyanendriyani, you can use your will. Therefore, they are said to be what now? Guna dosha mishritani. Mishritaha. Mishrita. Mixture. They're all endowed with both divine and demonic guna states. Whereas prana is free from both. Therefore, what do we say now? What do we say for prana? We say prana is shuddha. Prana is the shuddha. Prana is the purest. Prana is known for its purity. It cannot be used in wrong or right. Because you have no say over the... We can't use our will in making the prana function. Therefore, prana is a great devata, and prana is taken as, anyway, I'm going to discuss it very clearly in the next week class. I just want to introduce today. So next upasanam, the next chapter section, the dvitiyaha khandaha also is going to discuss the upasanam only, and that upasanam will be what? Also Udgita Upasanam, Omkara Upasanam, but there we are going to invoke the prana in Omkara. So Udgita, what now? Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam is very interesting. I am going to teach you next class. You will enjoy it, you know, and we are going to see our own sense organs as devas and asuras. Devas and asuras, deities and demons, where are they? See, in four different yugas, the devas and asuras are present for different places. Look at this. In one yuga, devas were in one loka, asuras were in another loka. Two different lokas, two different worlds. And there was a battle between them. Puranas, project the story like this. In another yuga, devas were in one location, one place. Others were in another place. The same loka in two different places. In another yuga, later on, another yuga, devas, asuras were in the same family. From two different lokas to, they came to two different locations in the same loka. Then in the other loka, then they came the one family itself. In the Kuru family, they were Pandavas and they were Dhartarashtras. The same Kuru family, one family, asuras and devas were there. Now in Kali Yuga, asuras and devas are in every individual, in one individual. From two different lokas to two different places. Two different places to one family. From one family to one person, locus. Where are the devas? Where are the asuras? I tell you, this upasanam is amazing. I like it. I'm going to teach you like next class. Where our own sense organs, our own organs of actions, our own mind, our own sukshma, can be the battalion of asuras. Okay, battalion of devas also. How? When do they become devas? When do they become asuras? And when they are devas, how our external behavior is. When they are asuras, how our behavior is. Very interesting. When we will be very objective towards all of them. Then we can say what? My God, I am not an asura, I am not deva. I am only what now? I am a witness of asuras and devas. As a consciousness,
devas outside, asuras inside, in the home.
No, we say everything is ourselves. Very interesting. So this is going to be, it's a more subjective thing. That's why it's also, even though we are not going to practice this meditation, it's going to help us understand few things, isn't it? Asuras and devas. So we'll see next class. I finished the first section. If you remember, this much is enough. I think I don't need to learn more. But I'll read out all the mantras and tell the meaning next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.